Welcome to CWH. I'm Mike Salem. My dad was a humble and devoted pastor who desired to minister to the lonely and elderly and nurture the saved in their daily walk through our broadcast. We are delighted to be with you worshiping together. We often hear of struggles and sorrow from our viewers and are grateful we can share the gospel that transcends the deepest pain and the most challenging times. From Nebraska, a viewer writes, "Life seems so hard and challenging and I get depressed. Hearing Pastor Salem reminds me this place is only temporary." And from Minnesota, "My wife of 20 years just overcame her alcohol addiction. She has been sober for over 2 weeks. Her body is suffering from the years of neglect and abuse, so please pray for her strength." We pray for those of you who are suffering, to know that God is near and will help when you ask Him. The message today reminds us that Jesus is interceding for us at the throne of grace. Now let's join my dad for the sermon titled, "Our Divine Advocate." God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And the weeks rolled by and the Lord gave us another week and here we are. And you know, one of these times it just could be that the Lord might come again and we won't need to meet over the radio and the television and all of that. We'll meet face to face in the air with the Lord. Oh my goodness. I get excited. I might just, I don't know what I'll do, blow a fuse. So we're just happy to be here and we just worship the Lord and serve the Lord as long as we live. We're looking at Psalm 103 today and verses 18 to 22. "To such as keep His covenant and to those that remember His commandments to do them, the Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of the word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye people of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all the places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." And dear God, that's what we're doing. We're blessing You and we're just praising You that You're such a great God and that You're mindful of us, that You love us. You love us so much You gave Your Son to die on a cross. And we cannot imagine in such a thing for such a sinner as I. And yet You, Jesus, did it. Oh, we just thank You, dear Jesus. And we thank You that You help us day by day. And You never take Your eye upon us, off of us. But You help and direct and lead us. So we just praise Your name and worship You now in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jan's going to sing a song. You and I know you'll like it. "Just When I Need Him Most." And God bless you, Jan.
Just when I need Him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to cheer, just when I need Him most, just when I need Him most, just when I need Him most. Jesus is near to comfort and cheer, just when I need Him most, just when I need. Should fall just when
Thank you, Jan. And you know, I want you to think about that song for a minute, because Jesus is there just when I need him most. And our sermon today is going to be about Jesus, our advocate. And you know what that means? That means day and night, he's always at the throne of God, and he's interceding for us, and he has his eye upon us, and he's helping us. And when we need him the most, there he is. He's praying for us, and he's representing us. And when we sin, he's defending us before the throne of God, and he's telling you how it's covered with the blood, and the Satan will try to do all he can. But the blessed, holy, wonderful Jesus Christ is at the very throne of God, and he's our advocate and our high priest. Oh, if you don't know Jesus, you're missing so much. You don't have anybody to represent you in heaven if you don't have Jesus. And you say, well, how? Yeah, I'd like to sign a contract. What does it cost? Well, I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't cost a penny to have Jesus as your Savior and your advocate. It just cost, I'll tell you what it cost. It cost Jesus his precious blood on the cross. It cost him his life. It cost him 3 days in the grave. It cost him every suffering he had on this earth. And yet he did it gladly, and it cost God his Son. Would you give your Son for some of the outlaw's sins? Yet we were enemies and rebels against God, and God gave his Son, and his Son gave his life, and that's so wonderful. So how do you have him as your advocate? You ask him to come into your heart and take away your sins and promise to serve him the best you can. And that's all you need to do. I was 10 years old. I accepted Jesus, and it's as real to me as if it happened yesterday. So you call on the name of the Lord. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I hope and pray that if you haven't done it, you pray. Why couldn't you could do it right now? I tell you what you do in your own words. Dear, say, dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. I'm sorry for my sins, and I'll serve you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. And if you did that, your sins are washed away, and he's your advocate, and he'll intercede for you at the throne of grace, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit, and you are a part of the body of Christ. All of that in a twinkling of an eye. That's what he tells us in John 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, now you've heard it, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, that is, you won't go into hell, but is passed from death unto life, that's eternal life in heaven with God. John chapter 5, verse 24, it's my favorite verse. And I pray that many of you prayed that prayer right now. Well, we want to share some of the letters. We get so many good letters. And the first one, I'm going to butcher it up good for you, so listen carefully. It is from Anaktukvuk, Alaska. Now, I know I mispronounce it because every time I pronounce it different. So some of the time I'm right, but not all the time. But that's where it's from. And so this person writes, I live in a remote part of Alaska, Anaktuvuk Pass, and when the chapel in the mountains, our small church, isn't that a beautiful name for a small church in Alaska? Our chapel in the mountains, and I'm going to tell you, they got mountains. I've been to Alaska, and I used to brag about the Black Hills of South Dakota, but I quit that. Those are granite mountains you can't believe. Well, up in those mountains, the chapel in the mountains, our small church does not have the services sometimes. I'm so blessed to be able to listen to your service online. Today's service was about dying and death. Because Jesus saved me, I don't fear it. And I pray that every person who lives, hears, and takes the leap of faith to give their body, spirit, and soul to the open arms of Jesus. Is not that a beautiful? I'll bet this guy's a deacon in his church. I don't know. But that isn't that beautiful? And so here, let me tell you. He says he's not afraid of death. Now, what is death? You ever seen it? No. Well, let me tell you what it is. We are all made up, we're composed of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Everybody's that way. And when death comes, it means the spirit and soul leaves the body. That's all. When Jesus was on the cross, he gave up the spirit and he was dead. And when Jesus raised the daughter of Jairus, well, the spirit returned, and she was alive. So that's what death is, when the spirit and soul leaves the body. Now, where does the spirit and soul go? Goes to heaven or goes to hell? And it'll last forever. And so Jesus tells us in John 3:36, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So when you die, you're going to meet God or the devil. And you decide. And how do you say, well, how can I decide where I'm going? You decide if you're going to have Jesus as your Savior. And if you say, yes, I want Jesus. I want to have his my King. I want him as my Savior, and I'll follow him. If you say that, you're going to heaven. If you say, I don't need Jesus, I'm good enough. I've been such a good guy. Oh, wow, am I ever good. I'll just get on my own good works. Well, I'll tell where you get. You'll meet the devil face to face, and God have mercy on your soul. So you have to have Jesus. All that from our little letter from Amuk-Toovuk, Alaska. It's a name deserves a little extra explanation. Here's Dewey, Oklahoma. My mother and I watch you every Sunday morning. We love your message and the music. I am on dialysis, so we feel like you're our church family. Please keep us in your prayers. I'm believing God for a new kidney, and I love you all. Well, okay, all of us need to pray. This dear friend in Dewey, Oklahoma. Here's Overland Park, Kansas. We get quite a number of letters from Overland Park, Kansas. Sounds like a nice place. And this says, I am disabled and watch your worship hour on Channel 10. I live in a 12-story building for the elderly and the disabled. Recently, I started a Bible study in my apartment for a small group of people. I'm requesting you to mail 7 reasons why I know I'm going to heaven for our group. Please send any other information you would consider appropriate for our learning. Well, here, this 7 reasons why I know I'm going to heaven. It's a little Bible study that we put out. It's called The New Song, and this is one of the studies, and it's been very popular. 7 reasons why I know I'm going to. You know, we can know. Some people say, oh, that's presumptuous. You can't know till you meet God. You can know the minute, or you can know right now, because if you accept Jesus, you have eternal life. And that's what, as the Bible says, I know, and I know that I know whom I have believed. I am not persuaded, and I am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know that all things work together for good. It's a know-so religion, and you can have that by simple faith in Jesus Christ. And you can get the new song. I'm going to give the number, give you the scripture or the address in just a few minutes, and you write in. It's free and postpaid. We really ought to pay. We ought to charge for it. It's such a wonderful little paper. But we're such good people. We'll probably go broke, but we're going to send it free. So I hope I can hear. Hope we hear from you. Here is Tucson, Arizona. It was such a blessing. I found your program on television last October 2016. Since I can no longer get to my church. The past few months, I have felt a need to be involved in my local church somehow. I am now on the senior home bound ministry and owe it all to your program. Okay, now here's the folks that have been worshiping with us, and they say that we're our church, his church, and that's fine. And we hope we can help you. But you should get into a local church. God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So you find a church where they're preaching the Bible. See if they're preaching the Bible. And then you get in there and just don't go to see what you can get from it. See what you can do to help the church. We got the millennials and they're running around and they're looking for what can you do for me? And what we need to do is say, what can I do for the church? What can I do for God? And so these people have got a church home and that's great. Here's Superior, Wisconsin. We were out of town last week and I missed your service. So later in the day, I watched you on Vimeo on my Kindle Fire. It was great. Thanks for your staff for always making the Word of God valuable available on the internet. And so he gets us on Vimeo and Kindle Fire. Now don't, excuse me, don't write to me and ask me what Vimeo is or Kindle Fire. I don't have any idea. I just know we're on it, and I'm glad we're on it, and I'm glad you could hear us. So God bless you. Stay tuned. Now here is Sun City Center, Florida. Listen to this. She writes, if this small donation helps save one soul, it's worth millions. She's got it just right. If this saves one soul, this small gift, one soul, it's worth millions. And that's what Jesus told us a long time ago. He said, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And Jesus is saying here, he's saying two things really. First, he's saying, if you gain the whole world and lost your soul, you'd be the loser. Because your soul is more valuable than the whole world put together. That's the first question. Now, the second question, Jesus says, what will a man take for his soul? When you have sold your soul, what will you do to get it back? How much will I have to pay to get it back? And it's impossible. There isn't any possible way. And so Jesus said, your soul is lost. You'll never get it back. You can work from now till doomsday. You'll never get it back because you've sinned and you can't pay for your sins yourself because you're an old sinner yourself. So Jesus said, I have no sins and I'll come and die for your sins. But God can't die. So Jesus is born of the Virgin and he takes on himself the form of a man. And in the flesh, he takes all the sins of the world, past, present, future. And that's why in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he took those sins, it says he sweat as it was great drops of blood. So that was some agonizing thing because Jesus had no sin and he took all our sins. And this wonderful Jesus, because we couldn't pay the price. So he said, I'll pay the price for you because you got sins of your own. I have no sins. I'll take your sins. I'll pay for them. And on that old rugged cross, he prayed, oh, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know why? Because God the Father turned his back on his own son because his son had sin and God cannot countenance sin. And he turned his back on his own beloved son. The only time in the complete circle of eternity that their fellowship was ever broken. No wonder there was darkness and no wonder there was an earthquake and blackness at noon and the sun hid its face. Oh my God. And he did it because he loved us and paid for our sins. And we need to return that by calling on the name of the Lord and say, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner and I ask you to take my sins. And I love you, Jesus. And just come into my heart and I'll serve you the best I can. You can do that or you can say, oh, I'm good enough. I'll take my chances. Like one old cowboy told me one time, you don't need to pray for me. I used to go up in the hospital And some of those hobble cowboys, they get all banged up from riding those wild bulls. Well, you get on a wild bull, don't ask me, but they did. And then I'd go and I'd pray for them. I'd ask them if they'd like me to pray for them. And I asked one old cowboy, would you like me to pray for you? He says, no, I got no argument with God. I don't need God. I guess, you know, as far as I know, he died that way. God have mercy if you face an angry God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. But if you come to Jesus, he'll forgive all your sins and make you his child. Oh, how can you beat that? One more letter. And listen to this one. Esteline, South Dakota. Before my husband went to be with the Lord, he learned that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life from your program. I also know several other people who would not have heard the true word of God anywhere else. I want to say this. Here's a person from this service. He found Jesus. He found Jesus for two ways. The first way is that we preach the Bible. The second reason is because you help pay the way, because there isn't any possible way for us to pay for these expenses. So when you sent your gift and you made your prayer, you had a part in this man coming to Jesus and many, many others. And so if you'd like to help us in this work, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, and you send us a gift and send us a prayer, assure us of your prayers. And if you want to, you know, if you've accepted Jesus and you want to help on that, put that in your letter. But you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy. It's box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or here, I'm telling you, talk about miracles. Here's one miracle I really like. You could send a gift over the internet. You say you can't do that? This is what you do. You just get our website and you get ChristianWorshipHour.com. ChristianWorshipHour.com. And then there's a place to say donate. That means you're going to donate something. And don't send blood. We don't need blood. But it means you can send some money, and you can send it from anywhere on the face of the earth, and we'll get it in American currency, and we'll pay our bill. ChristianWorshipHour.com, donate, and then you put it on PayPal, put it down, and we'll get it. And another thing I want you to know about is we have a little Bible study that we send out every month, and it's called The New Song. And The New Song, I know you'll love it, because, for instance, well, this month, the month of May, we're in June, this is the end of April now, but the month of May, our little Bible study is called The Greatest Verse in the Bible. The Greatest Verse in the Bible. And if you don't know what it is, it's John 3:16. You say, well, I disagree. I got a better verse. So you sign up for the new song. It's free. And you can see. And you read that little Bible study, and if you don't write back and say, yup, you were right, I'll eat my hat. And it's a good thing I don't have a hat, but because some of you might have a verse you really like. But it's the most wonderful verse in the Bible, John 3:16. You write to us. And then we have a little booklet. It's about a 12-page booklet. And it's on, can a Christian lose their salvation? And the answer is no. Once saved, always saved. You're saved forever. And so you can just ask for that. And if you can send a little gift to help us, it's on a free will offering basis. If you're in prison, you ask it for it. You don't need to send anything. And we'll help you and get in contact with you. And one other thing I want to say about the money thing. You say, well, what if I send the money and they use it for themselves? What if they have a big party on my money? And I don't like that. Well, I'm here. Even if we wanted to, we don't want to. But if we wanted to, we couldn't, because we are a member. The Christian Worship Hour is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And that's an international organization, and they audit our books. Every penny we take in, and worse than that, they audit how we spend it. And if we're off base, if we don't spend it exactly the way the budget calls for it, we won't be accepted into their organization. And as much of a headache as they are going through our books, we still want to be a member, because that puts us beyond any doubt at all that the money's taken care of and it goes for the gospel. So now Jan's going to play. I'm going to pray, and you give as God lays on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for those who support this work and make it possible. Souls are coming to you because you help us make the way possible through your people. So just this blessing, we pray a blessing on this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. Sure wish I could play like that, but I don't think even in heaven with lessons up in heaven I could do that. But maybe I'll preach a little bit. I don't know. We'll see. I know we'll have a great time, but I do believe in heaven we're going to have something to do. We're not just going to sit there and look at each other forever. And I think God, because work is a blessing. Work is a blessing from God. And so many look at it as a curse and a bad thing, and you should retire and get away from work as soon as you can. It is a blessing. Oh, yes. Well, we're looking today at Hebrews chapter 7, and this is a passage of Scripture where it talks about Jesus is our high priest. He's our high priest and our advocate. And the writer of Hebrews tells how that Israel always had a priest. And started in the wilderness when God set up the tabernacle and set aside a group of people, a tribe called the tribe of Levi. And out of that tribe of Levi, the priests would be taken. And the priests were always in the picture all the time. Now, when Jesus comes, he becomes the great high priest. And he dies on the cross, and he's buried, and he's dead. And then he's raised again, and he's alive. Now, all of the priests, when they died, then you had to get another priest, another priest, another priest. But now Jesus, the writer's saying, he's greater than all because he'll never die. He'll never need another high priest. And so he writes, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have an infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forever. And so we're going to pray to the wonderful high priest, Jesus Christ. And in our prayer, every week we pray for one of the persecuted church in one of the countries where the persecution is taking place. And the country we're praying for today is Iran, because they're dying in Iran for Jesus. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful passage of Scripture. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that now we don't have to be looking for a new priest every so often, because the old regiment of priesthood had to die. Their old age took them away, and a new one had to be appointed. But now Jesus has come, and we'll never need another high priest, because he will live forever and ever. And in the Old Testament, Lord, remember how that they used to bring the sacrifices. And when the high priest, when the priest in the Old Testament of Israel would bring an offering, he had to bring a sacrifice for himself, his own sins. Then he had to bring a sacrifice for the nation. And he had to do that every year. But now we don't have sacrifices anymore, because you became the sacrifice. You're the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. That is, God the Father knew you were going to do this before the world was ever formed. He knew what was going to happen. But he made man anyway, and he gave his son. And you died, and that's why we don't have animal sacrifices anymore, because you paid the price. And they're all washed away, all the sins of the Old Testament, New Testament, and however time stands. They're all paid under the blood of Jesus. Oh, you are so wonderful. We just love you so much, Lord. And you did it because you loved us. And so we thank you that we have a great high priest, and he prays for us, and he intercedes for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And now today we pray for our brothers and sisters in Iran. Lord, they're suffering, and you know better about it than we do. But we just put what you've told us to pray for one another. And so we pray you'll give them grace and strength and help, and help them to know that, dear Lord, we do think about them, and tell them that they encourage us and they strengthen our faith, so that we examine ourselves if we should be willing to die for you, and help us that we would be that. So, dear Lord, just have your way. And then we pray, just come as soon as you can. Put an end to all the troubles and trials of life. Now bless us in this service. Honor your name in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank has been with us since we started. He's a good friend, a good brother, and he's going to sing Fill My Cup. So God bless you, Hank. God bless you.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking. For things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well. Things before.
Well, thank you, Hank. God bless you. And I want to tell you all a little secret. Your cup will never be full unless you have Jesus. You have to have Jesus. We're made so that for God. We're made so there's a part of our body that needs, our soul that has to have divine, the divine God. And if we don't have God in our life, we will never have a cup full. And that's why you'll be running around like a chicken. We used to say some poor old chicken that's jumping around in the yard, because you'll never be satisfied till you have Jesus. So that's the story we give Jesus. You have to have Jesus. Well, we have a wonderful thought here today as we think of Jesus as our high priest and as our advocate. We've been celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, and we have seen that out of that comes some glorious events. For instance, we find out that because of the resurrection, we have a Savior, and we have an advocate or a high priest, and we have a king. Jesus is all of those things. And when you look at him as a Savior, you see it a work that's been completed. It's past tense. It took place 2,000 years ago on Calvary when Jesus paid for our sins on the cross. As an advocate, that means that Jesus is interceding for us all the time as high priest and as an advocate. And he's there to help us. It's present tense. And then as a king, he's going to rule and reign the whole world. That's future tense. And so, of course, we could preach a sermon on each one of those easy, but we have to just choose one. So we're going to think mostly today about Jesus as a wonderful advocate. Now, I just want to mention about a Savior, though, so we don't miss that. And when Jesus Christ is, we have to have Jesus in our life. And when he died for our sins, he paid for our sins, but it doesn't make a bit of difference until we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we put our faith in the Lord Jesus. And then when we have that, after we put our faith in Jesus, we are told that we have this, apostle tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And so this Jesus, this wonderful Savior, he has given his life for our sins. He's paid the price. And when we put our faith in him, we have eternal life. Now, when you come to the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we can look at him in different ways. Sometimes you think of him as a ransom, the price paid for a slave or a captive. And so Christ came to ransom us, and the devil has his claws on us, and we're in the kingdom of darkness. And so he comes and he washes away our sin. He pays the price, sets us free, and has the victory. So you have to have him as a Savior. And I'm going to close the service today looking at him as a Savior, but that's something that he did in the past. But we want to spend most of our time on Jesus as an advocate. John talks about this in his first epistle, 1 John chapter 2. And he says this, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. That is, he paid for all our sins. And he is not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So the whole world, all of the sins are paid. But unless they call in the name of the Lord, it's for naught. And you'll lose your soul in a Christless eternity. And so he talks about how in that first chapter of this epistle, he says two things. He says, first of all, that this wonderful Jesus, if we can receive him, and we become a part of the family of God. But then he talks about another matter, and he says the failure of believers. That is, once we've accepted Jesus and we sin, we commit some sin. And remember, we're in the process of being saved, but I mean of salvation. Our salvation is secure, but the process is that he's making us more like himself all the time. And so he challenges us to keep working at it and never give up. I remember reading a story about a little girl, and she'd been left by her parents with another family while they were away. And when at last the mother and father returned to her, why, she was on her way home, and she said to her father, and then she says, "Daddy, there were four little boys at that house where I was been staying." "Yes, I knew that," he said. And then she says, "Well, Daddy, they have family worship there every night." And he said, "Oh, I'm so glad to hear that." And then she says, "Daddy, every night their father prays for those four little boys." And she said, Dad says, "Oh, I'm glad to hear that." And then she, the little girl, says, "But Daddy, he prays that God will make them good boys, that they won't do anything naughty," said the little girl. "That was very nice," the father said. And then the little girl paused a minute, and she says, she was sounding a bit, she says, "But Daddy, God hasn't done that yet." And so the little boys might get naughty once in a while. She was observing they weren't the perfect thing. Well, that's what John's writing about here. He says that there are a lot of us like that. We may be like naughty little boys, only we sin, pure and black sinners, and we don't want to do that. And so we want to serve the Lord and love the Lord. So the question arises, what about the sin of believers when we fail the Lord? And we all do that. We don't want to. I don't want to sin, but I can sin in thought, in word, in deed. I can be the omission where I don't do something I should do. So it can happen so easy, so quickly. And so God tells us that we need to remember two things. We remember, first of all, as far as our relationship with God is concerned, that we are His children. And that we are His children forever, and we'll always be His children. Your children are your children, whether you disown them or not, no matter what they do, whether they're good or they're bad. If they're your child, they're your child. And the same thing holds true with the family of God. When we accept Jesus, we're His forever. And so then the question comes up, and we say, well, what about those people that sin, Christians that sin, or really should say, when we sin? Because let's be honest, we know that every one of us sins at different times. And so we have to remember that, like God says, there's not a just man upon the earth that sinneth not. And so we have Ecclesiastes 7, verse 10. So the believer has to remember that we have to listen. We're going to commit sins as long as we live. We don't want to. We want to be like Jesus, exactly like Jesus. But we can never make it, and we can never do it unless we realize that we are His child and we come to Him in confession and confess those sins. You see, the fellowship is broken and the sonship is here. I'm a child of God because when I was 85 years ago, a 10-year-old boy, I accepted Jesus. I was born again. I became a part of the family of God. That'll never, ever change. But I sin. And when I sin, what does that mean? That means that fellowship. I know that I've done something wrong. I know I shouldn't have done something, or I failed to do something I should do. Or maybe we said a sharp word to somebody. Or, well, it can be a thousand different things. We have an opportunity to help somebody in need, and we didn't do it. We have times to witness when we should witness for the Lord. We don't do it sometimes, or at least I don't. And sometimes people aren't honest, and sometimes people aren't kind, and sometimes people aren't living, and sometimes people have a sharp tongue. And so we can break all of these things, but we have to remember that doesn't mean we cease to become a child of God. It simply means our fellowship is broken. See, that's what happens in the family. You have this child, and that is here, and that we'll say is a little boy, and that little boy belongs to you no matter what he does or where he goes. Makes no difference, but what he does may break your fellowship, so you don't visit with him and talk with him and work with him like you used to when he grows up, see? And that happens with us and God. We're born again, and we're a child of God, and we'll always be a child of God. But so many times we sin, and then that fellowship with the Lord is broken. Maybe some unchrist-like action, no matter what it is. And when we do that, then this is what happens. the dear Lord Jesus Christ, our advocate in heaven, he prays for us and he intercedes for us. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he says that he's going to have a high priest in heaven who makes intercession for us forever. And that high priest, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, is interceding for us all of the time at the throne of God. He is our high priest. He's our advocate. And this is what we're told about that. He's touched with our infirmities. He knows our feelings and he knows our weaknesses because he was one of us. You've been to certain places, you run into troubles and trials. Jesus was there a long time ago. And when you hurt or when you're tempted or when something comes wrong, Jesus knows exactly. And so Jesus is our advocate and he prays for us. And so our advocate, we're told, John tells us, if any man sin, he have an advocate with the Father. The relationship was undisturbed. See, why do we need an advocate? Because we have a great adversary. The Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And in Revelation 11, chapter 12 and verse 10, Satan is called the accuser of our brethren, which accused them before God day and night. That is in the high court of heaven at the throne of God. The devil is there, and I don't know how it works because you see it in Job, where he goes to the throne of God and they discuss Job. There's things happen in mysterious things about the Trinity that we don't understand, but we're simply told as plain as day, he's the accuser of our brethren, and he accuses us day and night. He never ceases, and so we have a prosecuting attorney to speak for us, and that's Jesus Christ. And he knows all about us, and he knows our troubles and our trials. And it comes, that wonderful fellowship between the Lord and us are broken. Between the Father and us is broken because we've been angry with the brother, or we haven't read our Bible, we've neglected God, or we haven't done something, or we've done something we wouldn't have done. You know, we're in the flesh. And when those things happen, our heart breaks, and we know we go to bed at night, and we can't go to sleep because we think of how sharp we was to a brother or a sister, or how we should have helped somebody. And it bothers us. And we lay there and then we say, oh God, I can't go to sleep tonight. I failed you. And so what do? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That doesn't mean the sins of the past, way past, that's under the blood. But that means this day-by-day business where we fail and we know we're not right with God and we can't talk to God as we want to and we feel bad and we pray. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And like the psalmist said in the 139th Psalm, search me, O God, and know my ways. Try me and see there be any evil thoughts in me. And so that's exactly what we do. We ask God to check our heart and to just to forgive us our sins. And I want to tell you something about 1 John 1, 9. That's the verse that the pastor gave me, the evangelist gave me. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. And he read that verse, and I prayed to Jesus to accept me and to forgive me. And now when I sin and I fail God, and it's sin, I can still do that verse for 1 John 1, 9. And how many times have I used it? Thousands. And you know something else? Every time I ask Jesus to forgive me, he forgives me. And I tell him, Lord, there's getting to be a lot of them. And Jesus says to me, remember, my grace is sufficient for thee. Remember, like Paul said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The grace and the love and the forgiveness of God is greater than any one sin or piles of sins that we could ever commit. There's nothing too great for God and that advocate at the throne of God prays for us, intercedes for us, and gives us peace. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, dear God, our advocate. And then I want to just close talking about our King. Jesus is our King. That's future tense. Savior is past tense. He died for our sins. Advocate is present tense. He's doing that right now. Future tense when he comes again, King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, that's what we're looking for. And so John tells us in Revelation chapter 19, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he thus judge and make war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies that were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth proceeded a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. That's coming, and it could happen today. He is the Lord of lords, and every knee's going to bow and confess him. So I have to ask you a question. Do you know Jesus? If you don't know Jesus, nothing else counts. He's not your advocate, and he'll only be the King to put you in that crisis eternity. Do you have Jesus? Yes, I want Jesus. This is what you do. Jesus said that whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you call upon the name of the Lord by just telling him, Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. Now, God knows that, but he wants you to confess it. I'm a sinner, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. Use your own words in your own way, and then thank, and then tell him you're going to serve him and follow him. You're going to make him the King of your life, the Lord of your life, and you're going to follow him as long as you live, and then thank him. Now, if you do that, you write to us, and we'll send you literature, Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you write to us, send us a gift if you can. But you write and say, I accepted Jesus, or I came back to Jesus. We'll send you literature and we'll pray for you. And we can help you get started in the Christian life. And if you want the new song, if you want something about our little Bible study, put that on there, new song. If you want on how can a Christian be lost, put that down there. You can't be lost. And ask for that. And we'll be glad to write. We'll be glad to respond. We'll pray for every one of you that write in. And we'll write to all of you that accepted Jesus. But you have to accept Jesus. You have to make that move. So now I'm going to pray for you and put everything in God's hands. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for those who accepted you. And we pray that help them to know that they've been born again and they write their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Lord, we want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Iran that you'll watch over them and help them. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we just pray now that God will watch over you, that he'll help you, that you'll know that he is there and that he promised never to leave us or forsake us. And when things look a little bit down, just say, Dear Jesus, I know you're there. And you just talk to him. So God bless you now. We're going to be looking for that letter. We're going to be praying for you. And who knows, this coming week, the King may come. I don't know when he'll come, but I know this. He'll come someday. They used to say about his first coming, oh, we don't see him coming. He's been promised. He isn't here. He came at his own bidding time. And he'll come when he's ready, and no man will stop him. And so maybe this will be the week. Wouldn't that be something? We'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone. And we'll be looking for you, and you think about us. And all together, we'll gather around the throne of God. So bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.